Welcome to Now Hear This. I'm your host, Chris Spangle. Now Hear This is a conversation with leaders in Indianapolis that are working to improve the lives of Hoosiers. Our goal is to empower you to join in their work and make a difference while informing you about the unseen aspects of life in Indiana. If you miss an episode, you can listen via podcast at nowhearthisindy.com. Today, my guest is Ryan Vaughn, who is the president of the Indiana Sports Corp. And I want to thank you so much for joining me. Their website is indianasportscorp.org, by the way. Always like to mention that up top. Ryan, thank you so much for joining me. And can you explain what Indiana Sports Corp is?
Sure. Yeah, we are a nonprofit company whose mission is to advance and inspire our community through sports. Practically, what that means is that we are the group that is charged with attracting large sporting events to choose Indiana as the place where their event will be hosted. And then we turn around and serve as the host for those events. So we compete against other cities for the right and opportunity to host things like Final Fours, Super Bowls, college football championships, things of this nature. We do that years in advance. And if we're selected, when the event comes to Indy, we're the ones that help execute the logistics around the event itself.
Can we go back in history a little bit and talk about the sports strategy and what that means for Indianapolis? I know a lot of people are skeptical about using taxpayer dollars for some of that stuff. What has the sports strategy meant? How did it develop? And what impact does it have on Indianapolis?
Yeah, it's had tremendous positive impact. You know, and our history really dates back to the 70s, 1970s. Where, you know, Indianapolis, like most major cities in America around that time, 70s and early 80s, was experiencing pretty massive suburban flight. So people who lived and worked in the core of our downtown were electing to move out for, you know, more land, bigger houses, things of that nature. And as a result, you know, the concentration of economic activity was really becoming much more dispersed, and our downtown started suffering. And so, you know, like most cities, they needed a strategy to really kind of lean in and reinvigorate that downtown. And, you know, in Indiana in particular, you know, so goes Indianapolis, so goes Indiana from an economic standpoint, from at least tax generation standpoint. And so the decision was made to really kind of focus on amateur sports as that opportunity to both attract those sports related businesses to choose Indiana where they were located, and also to convince those businesses to host their premier events in town. So it was kind of a twofold strategy that's worked out really well over time. And we, you know, we were the first sports commission in the country. The whole notion of having a sports commission didn't even exist prior to Indiana Sports Corp. There are now more than 500, right? So this is obviously a model that has been replicated and working well. And we've seen the growth of the city. You know, we've had a largely Olympic sport focus in the 70s and early 80s. Grew to more of a Olympic and collegiate. Now it's Olympic, collegiate, and, you know, professional championships. And it really drives a lot of the economy. I mean, the sports tourism business is huge. And for those listeners who are concerned about the allocation of tax dollars around that, I mean, most of what pays for that are visitors' taxes, right? It's taxes on hotels, taxes on car rentals, taxes on, you know, entertainment, food and beverage, taxes on tickets. It's things like that that generate the income that support the investment in the sports infrastructure.
So what does that mean for the local economy? How does it quantify in terms of both dollars back to the Indiana resident and then also jobs? I mean, how many jobs are tied to the Indiana sports strategy?
Well, so the sports strategy, I think, works in parallel with sort of the visitor convention strategy, right? And there are almost 80,000 jobs in hospitality. So you think hospitality and entertainment. So you think about staffing these venues, hotels, restaurants, transportation, infrastructure assembly. You know, one of the great stories I like to tell is a company called Sports Graphics. Sports Graphics started when we started back in 1979 as a printing company. They printed flyers to go along with sports events. Because of the sports that have come through Indianapolis and because of the partnerships that company has made, they are now the national provider of look and feel and decor for, you know, things, companies like the NFL, parts of the NBA, the NCAA. So like when the bracket goes on the side of the JW, that's Sport Graphics. And that's a company that's grown literally from nothing to something substantial because of these events. And so people think a lot about the tourists that come to town, but they don't necessarily always focus on the businesses that support that tourism and how they've grown over the years because of it.
So what goes into something like a Final Four or an NBA All-Star game? What is the process of putting on that level of an event for the city?
Yeah, I mean, phase one is you have to win the event, right? And so we spend a lot of time working with partners from our hotels to Visit Indy, the Capital Improvement Board, our major sports professional leagues, and we build what we call a bid, right? So multiple cities will submit their own version of a bid to host. We always put, you know, really our best foot forward. You know, for example, to host the NBA All-Star game, we created a bid which talked about ancillary activations and the quality of the venues and the access to the airport and transportation. And then we wrapped an IndyCar, put Larry Bird in it, took it to New York and had him drive down Fifth Avenue and hand deliver a box to the commissioner, right? So it's really, you know, you gotta be special from day one. But when it comes to the back end, once you've had the opportunity to be awarded the event, there's a meaningful logistical effort that needs to happen. You know, everything from venue to fan entertainment engagement, media hospitality, you name it, it has to kind of be built from ground zero almost every time.
So once the event is taking place, what kind of coordination happens amongst the different, you know, private and public services within Indianapolis?
Yeah, so in order to execute these events, we form what we call a local organizing committee. We refer to it as an LOC. And on that LOC will be chaired, you'll have a community chairperson. So for the Final Four, it's Quinn Buckner and Katie Douglas, right? They're our community champions. And then think of it as an org chart. Underneath that, there are literally sometimes 50 sub-boxes of work that needs to be done. And a lot of that is coordination, as you just mentioned, between the kind of private entity and the public entity. So, you know, when we have to provide public safety for all the tourists and guests that are coming here, we have to provide transportation. That means the police chief is involved. The director of DPW is involved. When you're going to do a bunch of signage, you need, you know, deputy mayors involved to help make sure this process is smooth on the back end. And so there really is kind of hand in glove coordination with the city and the state, since we're the state capital.
Talking to Ryan Vaughn, who is the president of Indiana Sports Corp. Their website is indianasportscorp.org. Let's talk about the Final Four, March Madness, that is coming up. This is completely unique in anything in the NCAA's history, which, by the way, is headquartered here in Indianapolis. Can you talk about what went into securing the March Madness? I understand it was a very involved process.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, I think the NCAA certainly watched all that happened, you know, last year, and in particular the success the NBA had playing in the bubble in Orlando, and began to internally prepare for what might be a similar scenario that they needed to execute come March and April. And so with that, you know, comes a whole lot of work, right? I mean, I just mentioned to you, we're normally bidding on events of this type of scope and scale 5, 6, 7 years in advance, and here we are 3, 4 months in advance, right? And so there's a lot of things that kind of had to happen in parallel. First and foremost, you know, the NCAA engaged, you know, a healthcare provider locally to advise them. They have their own council of medical experts. And then they really had to go back to that public-private partnership you were talking about and work with Dr. Kane at the local level and Dr. Box at the state level to figure out how could they successfully host this event safely. So that's sort of step one. It's not an insignificant step, by the way, but it is step one. Step two was, you know, do we have the space and availability? And by that, I mean, you know, Indianapolis is pretty fortunate that our calendar is usually quite full of events. I think last year there were only 6 weekends where there wasn't something happening. So what did it look like? You know, the convention center had business that was booked. Hotels had business that were booked. Venues had business or games already scheduled. And so it really became a logistical Herculean effort on the part of Visit Indy, the Capital Improvement Board, and those venues to start shuffling their schedules, working with their partners to create availability so that we could host this.
And it's going to take place all across the state, is it not?
Yeah, it'll take place in 6 venues. Most of it will be in Indianapolis, but we will play first and second round games in both Mackey Arena and Assembly Hall.
Okay. And, you know, Indianapolis is always, you know, maybe you can talk about this, just the reputation that Indianapolis has built specifically since the Super Bowl, that I've noticed this kind of uptick in media compliments for Indianapolis. And I think people who live here don't fully understand the difference between us and, let's say, a Columbus or a Peoria or another Midwestern town. I mean, what is the reputation that Indianapolis has specifically for hosting these kinds of events?
Yeah, we're certainly seen as a national leader. We outpunch our weight class relative to our peers. I mean, I would consider our competitive peers places like Miami, New Orleans, Atlanta, Dallas. You know, these are cities of significantly larger population and resources. But I think what's made us special is the way that we, as a community, sort of invest in these events. Not only do we have great infrastructure, right? I mean, we have the number one ranked airport, like 8 years running. Our venues are first in class. You know, Visit India's USA Today is named as the number one convention city in America, right? So we have built the infrastructure to make it just an awesome experience for tourists and guests. But then there's the human infrastructure that really takes it to the next level. I mean, our volunteers are very special. They're special to us. They've helped us develop this reputation. They always show up and put on that sort of Hoosier hospitality that we're known for. And people just love it. I mean, people from all parts of the country come here. They enjoy the Midwest atmosphere. They enjoy the amenities. They enjoy that it's walkable and safe and clean. And that reputation is, you know, started really building itself nationally in 1982 with the sports festival, and 87 with the Pan Am Games. We've hosted 7 Final Fours now, headed into our 8th. So it's just a thing that we're very guarded of. We want to continue to kind of have that reputation and offer that nationally. And thankfully, we've had great leadership before me that helped build that. And it's our responsibility to sustain and grow it.
One thing that I've seen in doing this program is that partisanship comes second here. And that seems unique. Is that a key element of making all of this work?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it always comes second. I mean, it's about getting it done. I think we, you know, we're in a unique place in our sort of national history, I think, with how just unbelievably partisan we are as a nation. And some of that is true as of a community as well. But, you know, one of the things that I think makes Indy special generally is that we all do care about Indy first and foremost, right? Now, we may have a lot of different ideas on how we get there and what we need to be doing, but you can really see that when it comes to sports and when it comes to, you know, big moments for our city where we're generating, people really, you know, set that in the background and get focused on our collective success as opposed to those things that divide us.
So final question is, how can people get involved? I know that you need volunteers. Is that not correct?
It is correct. I will say it's obviously a little bit different volunteering in the middle of a pandemic than it is in a typical kind of Final Four. But, you know, there are lots of ways for folks to be helpful, and we are always grateful for their effort. And so just go to our website, indianasportscorp.org. You kind of kicked it off with that. Thank you. And there's a tab there to volunteer, and you can register to volunteer, and you can even create your own profile on the things that you're most interested in volunteering for. And so we'd love to have you. It's really important to our continued success. And candidly, it's a great way to get involved and be a part of civic pride if you don't have a ticket to the game. So
quickly, what kind of volunteering opportunities are there?
Well, it's tough to say right now, honestly, for March Madness. We're still trying to figure out the capacity, but, you know, we're going to need folks who can help us supervise, you know, cleaning, help us organize transportation. A variety of different things you can do without being physically present that are going to be very important.
Ryan Vaughn, president of Indiana Sports Corp, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Now Hear This. I'm your host, Chris Spangle. If you missed any portion of our program, you can listen on our website, nowhearthisindy.com. If you'd like to have your organization featured on the show, please email Gabby at nowhearthisindy@iheartmedia.com. Thank you for listening, and we will be back again next weekend with Now Hear This.